Namaste, everyone. I would like to apologize. I know episode 7, I did not namaste to start the episode. I was in a rush, and I definitely went overboard on the music. This week, I'm going to try to easy does it on the music. I want to start off with a subject I called Leading Humanity, the American Black Woman. Now, as a researcher, qualitative research, something called narrative inquiry. It's an essential tool for researchers to understand complex, diverse, and unintegrated concepts that exist in society. It is an approach that is particularly important when it comes to studying social and behavioral trends. It is interview-focused, qualitative, quality, interview-focused. Now, qualitative methods are needed to keep up with the rapid changes in our family systems, driven by the pursuit of freedom, justice, and equality. Descriptive narratives are particularly valuable, as they allow us to delve into the historical context without being limited by gender or racial biases, and to connect with empathy and compassion. It allows researchers to gather real-time information from those voices that aren't heard, those individuals judged by statistics. For example, when examining the topic of single-parent households, it is important to recognize that this social condition was largely imposed on African-American women who faced a slow and difficult struggle for equality due to historical factors such as slavery, oppression, and lack of trust and support. I derived this from Eden 2000, Hill 2006, and Tock et al. 2014. Until the Civil War, Black women had to be wives and mothers for multiple families, immediate families, slave families, and white families. Until the Civil War, Black women had to be wives and mothers, and that includes white families. After the war, American Black women found meager employment opportunities as mammies or nannies, raising white children, and were still treated horribly. While it is a myth that these nannies loved and treated these children better than their biological children, employment, even by ignorant white families, did not mean they weren't loving and caring and connecting with these children. Wallace and O'Neill from 2019, these narratives specific to the American Black woman's journey prove a uniqueness and resiliency unmatched by the rest of Americans. The leading involved father tends to be a makeup of the man, a part of his character traits, and probably vice versa, with minimum involvement with non or multiple partners. Globalization and its social superstructures, economies, social classes, and corporate media propaganda will always manipulate the potential for humanity's harmonious chase for restoration. Money and power will always enable prevention science programs to be re-evaluated, adapted, and upscaled. Technology makes narrative inquiry more efficient and precise, hopefully saving lives and resources and expediting humanity's evolution. For example, imagine how capable sailing the seas are today compared to 500 years ago. The speed at which narrative inquiry can be conducted, assessed, and deciphered could open new ways by which future generations establish extra-galactic social conditions. We can know how it feels to be a Black woman in society. We can interview. We know how it feels to be a good Black father in society. That's an area of research that there's so many gaps and limitations because there's not enough. There's not enough research. Black fathers are good fathers. There are single Black fathers that are great. Black women are great mothers. However, quantitative data, statistical data, can leave us judging. The time is now for a black female president. Technically, the time was decades ago, but the time is now. I'm going to move on to the family. Today is going to be our main subject, the family. But we're going to look at family theory. Now, there's assumptions, and we'll get into the four family theory assumptions, but take a moment and try to imagine here. As the individual is conceived, born, and grows, so does the family concept. And so essentially, families are individual entities themselves, moving, molding like neuroplasticity in the brain. Each spirit, and this is prior to conception, before coming to Earth, each spirit was waiting in line to see the... Each spirit was waiting in line to see the show tonight. I'm lying. But seriously, each spirit was waiting in line at the conception depot. Once the number was called, in the blink of an eye, with a universal explosion like the Big Bang, there is a heartbeat. And this usually occurs between weeks 6 and 7 of the first trimester. In the hopes that all factors remained aligned, the human is born healthy and named. And that spirit is now a person. A person has officially entered a family of humanity. The family of humanity. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on one's acceptance of this reality and this life experience, humanity has functioned as or within a civil war. Continent pitted against continent. Country versus country. Rich squashing the poor. Men oppressing women. Miscommunication has left religion compartmentalized, separating the beliefs of billions, with neither side willing to accept the other. Physical characteristics like skin color and features, height, weight, hair, and specific physical and mental capabilities are all labeled lines in the sand. And so what began as an infinite nebula of spirits waiting in line to see the at the conception depot has become a luck of the draw lottery ticket. Maybe you were born into the white and wealthy Christian category, or the tan brown middle class Buddhist category, or God forbid, you are a poor Hindu woman. I'm going to go on a rant. So finding the exact rape figures in any country is difficult because victims will usually not report the crimes. Also, let's remember I'm a man here trying to convey information that occurs to a woman, so I have no idea how it feels, but let's go back. Finding the exact rape figures in any country is difficult because victims will usually not report the crimes. In fact, rape and crimes against women in India are so prevalent that I'm not even going to cite sources in the specific figures. Just put it this way, and this is a soft, rough estimate, but since 2013, there have been at least 30,000 rapes reported per year, which looks more like a woman is raped than reports the rape about every 15 minutes in India. Passmore's 2023 research from the National Crime Victimization Survey, the NCVS, and Uniform Crime Report, UCR, found that 2 out of every 3 rapes go unreported in America. While in India, these figures are probably quadrupled, we will add the 2 out of 3 theory of unreported to the 30,000 per year. And so every 5 minutes or 300 seconds, a woman is raped in India. In fact, based on Professor P's math, a woman was probably just raped in India since the start of the show. My little rant is far from over, but it's over for now. But is it? I fall under the white and wealthy and choose whatever religion God allows my little spoiled self to seek. So it is easy for my gratitude to speak. Frustrating, too, is that I'm learning that subjective experience, my own experience, right? Subjective. Or, well, I have seen this, or I have done that. only holds value for me. Just because I have experienced something doesn't mean it bodes well for the Inuit population north of Alaska. In fact, my privilege of getting to choose double soft toilet paper made with the feathers of angels suggests that maybe I should be the listener rather than the sharer. I'm pretty sure that helpless woman getting raped, or that was raped in India just a few minutes ago, has far more to offer me spiritually than the hope or belief of an eternal afterlife in bliss, because deep down I am spoiled and deep down I believe I deserve it. Or deep down I'm scared and so I need something. I do think it is practical, though, to believe in God. I would rather physically die and have believed in God than not to have believed in God at all. What I don't think is practical is the separation of God and the categories of religion. However, it's obvious I'm still very immature mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, so there is that. Now that O.J. Simpson, the O.J. that did not slaughter Ronald and Nicole, that O.J., is meeting his maker, can't we all get along? Can't we be a happy family of humanity? It would not make the wealthy rich, but the family. So experts Allen and Henderson, 2017, agree that there are four main assumptions underlying themes across all family theoretical approaches. They are the following. Developmental assumption is where the individual is born into the family, tribe, or foster care system, and each person's immediate connection to the other will directly or indirectly influence the other. The developmental assumption in families is cyclical. It's a cycle. And through the life cycle is chronological. That means it goes 1, 2, 3, and linear down the line. From birth to death, family roles and relationships become brand new for each member at each stage. Maybe even each moment, we're developing new people. Number two, the diversity assumption, which works well with developmental. It's families are and have evolving as social constructs and ideals change. Freedom, celebrating individualism and equality, allowed the family unit to express itself beyond oppressive conditions. For example, same-race families, mixed-race families, same-sex families, childless, extended, intergenerational, different religious beliefs, and binational families. Or as Trask, 2011, refers, the transnational mothering, in which mothers migrate for work to provide for the family. Three, the systematic assumption, diversity, equality, community, and technology, paving the way for blood-related and unrelated family members to efficiently remain connected or interrelated. This is Trask and Allen and Henderson. The family is a system by which all members involved are somehow affected by specific events, depending on where one's life is connected. In Allen and Henderson's 2017, communication process and composition structure. For example, if you've listened, or if you know me, Professor P, my entire immediate family is gone, right? They have passed away years back. And so my wife's mother and father and their families were essentially affected. And I'm blessed to say that they adapted and loved, and for my well-being's sake. Depending on connectivity and capability, the family system affects specific members differently, depending on their roles and relationships. However, all that is connected feel the effect. How that member copes or reacts is directly linked to the developmental and diversity assumptions. And number four, the processual assumption. The processual assumption is that families will survive. Families are resilient, diverse systems, continuously metamorphosing and developing across the lifespan. Families are dynamic, especially in how our systems communicate, creating different environments. Communication, acceptance, forgiveness, love, and change make the processual assumption look different for each family, depending on cultural views and individual family environments. McLeod and Chaffee's family communication patterns remains one of the leading theoretical frameworks used to study family communication styles and beliefs. Ritchie, Kohner, and Fitzpatrick describe the family communication environment as one involving norms of control and supportive and harmonious messages. This process is met by family member roles, parents, older siblings, or leaders exercising authority and encouraging conversation based on the family communication patterns. Fitzpatrick and Kohner. Allen and Henderson's family assumptions theory takes family communication patterns theory into account with an in-depth look into those family member roles by analyzing individual life development and diversity of individuals, creating a unique family system. So one assumption I hold on the family assumptions, I'm an assumer. Get in the assumer. One assumption I hold to be true about families is that diversity is normative. The four assumptions of family theory will always require further research, and mixed methods are most practical. More qualitative insight into diversity, gender, and individual development across the lifespan will strengthen meta-analysis. That's a bunch of literature. That's a literature review that will analyze a bunch of research. I hope for more variety in each family's actual individual makeup, religion, the geography, and aging. The term dysfunctionality belongs to the family concept of balance. Less is more and more is less. Humans are humans. I need support and family to survive. This can look different from the isolated and lonely orphan to the family matriarch approaching 100 years old as five generations of kin show up for the yearly summer bash. Family is connectivity and trust, traits that can be blurred to the developing infant early in life and the aging adult later in life. Family systems include more than just the parents and the children, such as cousins and non-blood relatives. The intergenerational relationships like the grandparents and great-grandparents and how those developmental concepts influence the processal environment can't be missing. They're key. They're important. Growing up as a young, developing, know-it-all child, I did not have my choice in my family system. And most of my perceptions about myself, others, and life were by misinformed people with misinformation. Vulnerable populations accept their role and relationships in the family because it is a natural order of life, survival of the fittest. Hopefully, we make it to adulthood with the ability to function in society or calls it to our last breath with satisfaction, contentment, and protection. Funny, the term accept plays a role in this life experience of creating a family. My wife and I are co-creators of our immediate family. My son's personality, physical traits, and intelligence are more tied to those family members who have come and gone rather than directly from my wife and I. Do I still worry that children may bully? Yes, children bully children. I still have deep fears about social conditions regarding gender, sexuality, and race. They're ingrained. Still, just like the central family system of humanity, it's not all about me, and family is dynamic. Family allows humans to evolve. War and earthquakes are relative. Family and human survival are too relative. The redwood tree system reminds me of families. The trees are so vast and immense that as individual trees, they will topple down on themselves. The roots of each tree hold redwood tree systems together. Essentially, the system is all one big root. This interdependence of the family system to function as one whole aligns with family holism, where all system members are concurrently developing, adapting, and regenerating as one entity. Van Ryzen et al., 2016. Systems need pieces to become whole and to operate, just like trees need roots. Thinking of a family and the functionalist theory, the concepts of evolution and religion come to mind because life would not function without man, woman, child, procreation, and evolving men, women, and children. Family is needed to exist or function socially, especially among other family systems living the world family system of life. Now, we could argue that we are living in a dysfunctional world and that it is one dysfunctional family. Trask, 2011 and 2012, dissemination of the changing family unit in an ever-evolving world is linked to globalization, family policies, and social, cultural, and technology transformations, presenting new theories about demographics, gender roles, and race, ethnic diversity. A term from neoliberal giant business superstructures like the media, world banks, and governments, globalization is the economic market by which the family, especially those families suffering in extreme poverty, are the commodity. That's from Tefeki, 2018. This one-world global market is impacting states and countries, moving their responsibility for education, health, and the welfare of individuals away and onto the family. That's Trask, 2019. The perception of family roles and security has been turned upside down from the earliest 20th century to 2023. Trask continued that the United States and its wealthy Western counterparts have seen decreased marriage and fertility rates with increased cohabitation, divorce, and same-sex marriage rates, a dramatic shift from the dominant model of nuclear families formed in early life that included the introduction to sexuality and childbearing, which has become less uniform with more acceptance celebrating individuals, carving their paths. This flip-flopping pattern is Bellari and Loughborough's convergence to divergence. It is occurring in all descriptive categories that made what a family was 50 years ago compared to what a family is today. The upsurge of women in the workforce has also increased the number of migrant women who sacrificed to leave their families because of cultural views and insufficient opportunities. Trask refers to this phenomena as the transnational mother, in which mothers migrate for work so their children and loved ones can receive opportunity. Globalization has pushed families into a new way of life because of the technological phenomena that instantly unite everyone worldwide, connecting an entire earth at the speed of God's speed. Technology has bridged all nations and cultures to the present day right now at this moment and has enabled social movements aimed at eradicating oppression with equity, diversity, and equality. While these social and cultural changes have occurred slowly, not all countries and families are adapting to this westernized global way of living. There remains violent pushback from cultures around the world, especially when it comes to advocating for gender equality and accepting open-minded religious beliefs, two critical aspects of the family unit. That's Trask and Tefeki. However, in the last 20 years, families are believing that diversity and gender equality are increasing. However, their views on religion, family time, unity, and values have decreased. I want to thank you for listening today. Take what you can and leave the rest. Soon it will be Crispy and I. That'll be the next interview. That will be the next episode. As always, thanks for namasteing, but namago.